We're gonna go out and get edified in the Lord tonight, and you won't bother us if you're sleeping, if we don't bother you while we're not sleeping. Father, we're blessed tonight to be in your house, and we thank you, Father, for the opportunity once again to preach and teach the Word of God. We know that your Word is with power. All of your Word is with power. And we'd appreciate very much tonight, as a matter of fact, Lord, we ask you, invite you, encourage you to use natural instruments to bring forth the revelation of your Word to us. Cause your Spirit to take the Word that I speak and quicken it to our hearts. Let us have not just a mental understanding, but let us have a spiritual revelation of the truth concerning this matter of praise. In the name of Jesus, we ask it. Amen. Let's start in the 8th Psalm. Anybody does not have a Bible, if you'll just slip your hand up, one of the ushers will bring you a Bible. You'll need one in order to follow with us tonight. Please also get a pencil out or some kind of something to underline with or highlight with, so that as we go over these scriptures, you can mark in the margin of your Bible that you can underline the verses as we read them. You can make special notes as the Lord gives you revelation. Many times we've heard it said, I've repeated this oft heard saying, if your Bible is too good for you to write in, you need to get one that's not quite so good that you can go and write in it. You need one that you can make some notes in. If I didn't have my Bible well marked, I wouldn't be able to do what we're going to do in the next few moments. Psalm number 8, I'm going to read just two verses, and we're going to skip around a little bit tonight. There's one rather lengthy passage we want to read and some other passages that will just help us establish principle. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth, who has set thy glory above the heavens. Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings hast thou ordained strength because of thine enemies, that thou mightest still the enemy and the avenger. How many of you accept the fact that we have an enemy? Anybody encountered him lately? What's his name? Satan is his name, and the devil is his game, and he is out to destroy God, God's kingdom, and God's people. The Lord told me that because I was created in the image and the likeness of God, that the devil had a hate for me from before the time I was born, and that it would never change. He hates me with a passion. He hates you with a passion. He'll do anything he can to destroy you. As a matter of fact, Jesus said that the thief cometh not but for to steal, kill, and destroy. Not a good act. He would be what my father used to call a bad apple when he would begin to talk to me about my friends and the kind of people that I was having fellowship with. He'd say, that's a bad apple. Or he'd say on another occasion, he would say, that's a bad actor. That's what the devil is. He's a bad apple, and he's a bad actor, and his game is stealing, killing, and destroying. Make no mistake about it. He is your enemy. The more you love God, the more he hates you. But even if you didn't love God, he still hates you because you're created in the image and likeness of God. Every time he looks at you, he sees God, and it just causes him to boil. You see, you have the inheritance he wanted. You were given the dominion that he wanted. You're everything that he wanted to be and can't become. And he hates you. It will never change. That's why he's consigned in the Word of God to an eternal lake of fire and brimstone. Now, the Bible tells us here in the second verse of Psalm 8 that God has ordained strength. In other words, he has appointed strength. Because we live in a land that is populated with enemies. Because we're encountering enemies, God has appointed a means for us to have strength, to stand against that enemy, to still him, to still our enemy, and to still the avenger. Now, what is that strength? What has God established in his kingdom for us that we may appropriate and make our own so that we can have strength against our enemy. Just because we live in a world that where the God of the world is not our friend but rather our enemy does not mean that we're helpless. We're here, but God has given us strength. He has established a strength for us. Now, if all we had was this verse, it would not be easy to dope this out. But we're going to look at some other scriptures, and I'm going to show it to you very, very carefully. I want you to notice that the Bible says, out of the mouth of babes and sucklings hast thou ordained strength or appointed strength. Now, that's a very important connection because we're going to go over, hold your finger here, please, and let's go over to the book of Matthew, the 21st chapter. Jesus quotes this passage. I'm amazed, the more I read my Bible, I'm amazed at how adept the Lord Jesus was at in his knowledge of the Old Testament and his use of it. Time after time after time, the words that flowed from his mouth were the words of God recorded in the Old Testament. Matthew 21 and verse number, I think we'll start at the 14th verse in order to set the context here. And the blind and the lame came to him, that is to Jesus, in the temple, and he healed them. And when the chief priests and the scribes saw the wonderful things that he did, and the children crying in the temple and saying, Hosanna to the Son of David, they were sore displeased. Now, what were the kids doing? They were praising God. Hosanna to the Son of David. They were blessing the Lord Jesus. They were praising him. And of course, what was the response and the reaction of those who were antagonistic to the cause of Christ? They were sore displeased. They were mad as hornets. You ever get into some mad hornets? And said unto him, Hearest thou what these say? Jesus saith unto them, Yea, of course I can hear it. Have you never read, out of the mouth of babes and sucklings, thou hast perfected praise? Now Jesus is quoting Psalm 8, verse 2. And he is interpreting that verse for us. Jesus said, out of the mouth of babes and sucklings, God has matured praise. Out of tiny little babies who do not have very much in the way of understanding yet, God has demonstrated what perfect praise is. Now, if you'll go back to Psalm 8 once again, let's see what the psalmist has said. Let's see what David is describing here. Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings hast thou ordained strength. What is our strength according to these two verses? Now we put them side by side. What has God appointed for us that makes us strong in the presence of our enemy? And what do we have available to us to shut his foul mouth? Praise. God has ordained praise to make his people strong in the presence of the enemy so that the enemy will be stilled and that he will be rendered powerless. It is one of the most powerful weapons we have. Paul wrote to the Corinthians in his second letter, the 10th chapter, he said, though we live in the world, we live in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh because the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. What is one of these very powerful, mighty in God weapons, according to this passage? Praise. A tremendously powerful weapon that God has given to the church in order to do battle against the enemy. Now, let's see if it works. Look at it from a practical standpoint. Let's go to the very familiar Old Testament story in 2 Chronicles chapter 20. And we'll see where Judah fits in here. Remember, as James was telling us this morning, Judah, the name Judah means praise or God be praised. When Judah's mother named him, Judah was the son of Jacob, of course, and when he was named, his mother named him Judah because of her attitude of praise. She said, I'll call him Judah, God be praised. And in the Old Testament, when they went out to battle, they would send Judah first. It's not that Judah was the most powerful tribe, but Judah was praise. And they sent praise first against the enemy. Now, here's an example of it. And that's why we were singing there before. Send Judah first. What's the next line? The victory will be won. The battle will be won. Send Judah first. The enemy will be overcome. What's the rest? Giving praise to the Father and glory to the Son. Send Judah first. Now, see, that's very scriptural. Send praise first when you're engaging the enemy in battle. Always send praise first. Now, one of the things that is difficult in sending praise first is when you are looking at overwhelming odds, you don't feel like praising, you feel like running. You're like David in Psalm 55, "Oh, that I had wings like a dove, and I would fly away, and lo, I would spend the rest of my life in a wilderness." You ever felt like that? "Oh, that I had wings like a dove. I would just like to take off and just flee this place." 2 Chronicles chapter 20 is a similar situation. It's a story from the history of the tribe of all ones, Judah. I'm going to just read through it. We'll comment on it as we go. I'm sure most of you are familiar with the story, but it bears repeating. It's really a beautiful story, and the truth is powerful in it. "It came to pass after this also that the children of Moab and the children of Ammon, and with them other beside the Ammonites," and we're going to find later these were the Edomites, or the inhabitants of Mount Seir, the descendants of Esau, "came against Jehoshaphat to battle." Jehoshaphat was the king over the tribe and the nation of Judah. Israel and Judah were separated at this particular time, and Judah was operating as a nation, if you will. And here are three enemy peoples, Moab, Ammon, and Mount Seir, or Edom, that come together in a confederation against the people of God, Jehoshaphat, their king. "Then there came some that told Jehoshaphat, saying, There cometh a great multitude against thee from beyond the sea on this side Syria, and behold, they be in Hazazon, Tamar, which is En-Gedi. And Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord and proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah." Good idea. Let's find out what God has to say about this. "And Judah gathered themselves together to ask help of the Lord. Even out of all the cities of Judah they came to seek the Lord." Now, notice that their first turn was towards the Lord. Not away from the enemy, but toward the Lord. Now, when you see, as we go on in the story, when you see the advice God gave them, I want you to see that they went to the Lord first, looking for counsel and looking for direction. And then when we see what guidance he gave them, it will be even more meaningful to us, I believe. "And Jehoshaphat stood in the congregation of Judah and Jerusalem," which was the capital city, "in the house of the Lord before the new court, and said, O Lord God of our fathers, art not thou God in heaven, and rulest not thou over all the kingdoms of the heathen? And in thine hand is there not power and might, so that none is able to withstand thee? Art not thou our God, who didst drive out the inhabitants of this land before thy people Israel, and gavest it to the seed of Abraham thy friend forever? And they dwelt therein, and have built thee a sanctuary therein for thy name, saying..." What's he doing here? What's he doing in his own personal prayer life? He's doing what? He's praising the Lord and reminding him of his prior promises and commitments. "And they dwelt therein and have built thee a sanctuary therein for thy name, saying, If when evil cometh upon us as the sword, judgment, or pestilence, or famine, we stand before this house and in thy presence, for thy name is in this house, and cry unto thee in our affliction, then thou wilt hear and help. And now behold, the children of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir, whom thou wouldest not let Israel invade when they came out of the land of Egypt, but they turned from them and destroyed them not. Behold, I say how they reward us to come to cast us out of thy possessions, which thou hast given us to inherit. O our God, wilt not thou judge them? For we have no might against this great company that cometh against us, neither know we what to do. But our eyes are upon thee." I love that verse. "I'm at my wit's end," Jehoshaphat said. "We don't know what to do. We don't have any might against this company. Our enemy is much too strong for us. It's absolutely impossible for us alone to stave off this attack. We don't know what to do, but we're looking at you. Our eyes are on thee. And all Judah stood before the Lord with their little ones, their wives, and their children. Then upon Jahaziel, the son of Zechariah, the son of Benaiah, the son of Jeiel, the son of Mattaniah, a Levite of the sons of Asaph, came the Spirit of the Lord in the midst of the congregation. And he said, "Hearken, ye all Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, and thou King Jehoshaphat, thus saith the Lord unto you, be not afraid nor dismayed by reason of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's. Tomorrow go ye down against them. Behold, they come up by the cliff of Ziz, and ye shall find them at the end of the brook before the wilderness of Jeruel. Ye shall not need to fight in this battle. Set yourselves, stand ye still, and see the salvation of the Lord with you, O Judah and Jerusalem. Fear not, nor be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord will be with you." All right, now, here are the instructions and the promise. The promise is, tomorrow go out against them as if you were going to engage them in battle. You'd not be concerned about it, for the battle is not yours, but God's. You're going to have to step out and begin to engage the battle. Set yourselves, but when you set yourselves in battle array, all you'll have to do is stand still and just see the salvation of God. I won't let you down. I'll be with you, and I will give them into your hands. Now, the Lord did not explain how he was going to do this. All he did was gave them a promise concerning the end result. He said, the victory is yours. I'm going to see to it that this enemy is destroyed. The victory will be yours. They didn't have any idea how this victory was yet going to be won. They knew that they had to go out. They couldn't run and hide. They had to go out and engage the enemy, and that the Lord would fight for them somehow, and the battle would be won, and they would have the victory. Now, having only the promise, I want you to see how they responded to this. What they did is very interesting. And Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face to the ground, and all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem fell before the Lord, worshiping the Lord. Why were they worshiping the Lord? Think now. Why were they worshiping the Lord? Did they have the victory won yet? Had the enemy been destroyed yet? Wasn't everything still the same? Didn't they have a three-king confederation, a great multitude of enemy arrayed against them? Had that changed? Had they gotten any new weapons? Had they gotten any miracle weapons delivered to them? Nothing had changed, except they had the promise of God. That's all they had. They had the Word of God. Now, that word, now I want you to watch this very carefully. That word, mixed with faith in their heart, caused them to begin to worship God in anticipation of the victory. Do you see that? We know that they were exercising faith in the promise of God because they worshiped God. Their worship was an expression of their faith. Now, you must understand this, or you will never understand why praise is such a powerful weapon. Praise is the outward expression of an inward abiding faith. When a man or a nation is willing to praise God in the face of the enemy, it means that they are believing in their heart the promise of God. And it is according to 1 John 5, and I believe it's the fourth verse. Let's hold our finger there and flip over to that, and let's look at it. Let's get the revelation on this. 1 John 5 and 4. Watch this now. For whatsoever, let's just read it together. 1 John 5, 4. Let's read it together and hear ourselves speak it. I'll wait till you find it. All right, now read with me. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. The victory that overcomes the world is our faith. Well, where does praise fit in? Praise is the outward expression of an inward faith. A man who believes he's walking in victory is a man that has the praises of God on his lips, no matter how desperate the situation appears. A man who's not walking in faith is not going to be able to praise God when he's face to face with the enemy. It's the principle that is established for us in Romans, the 10th chapter, when Paul tells us how salvation comes. He says that salvation comes to every man who believes in his heart that God raised Jesus from the dead and confesses with his mouth Jesus is Lord. Faith is an attitude of the heart. Praise is an action of the mouth. Put the two together and you have the combination that overcomes any enemy that would come against us. Do you see that? How many of you see that? Faith, John says, is the victory. Jesus said, God has ordained praise to give us the victory. And I want us to see tonight how they fit together. Send Judah first. Send your praise out first. The praise, you see, is an outward manifestation of the faith which is in the heart. And faith always gives you the overcoming victory. It'll never fail. All right, now let's go back to 2 Chronicles once again. Let's see what happened. When the promise of God came, they fell on their face and they worshiped the Lord. Then we're told in verse 19, and the Levites of the children of the Kohathites and of the children of the Korahites stood up to praise the Lord, God of Israel, with a loud voice on high. Then the next morning, they rose early in the morning and went forth into the wilderness of Tekoa. And as they went forth, Jehoshaphat stood and said, hear me, O Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, believe in the Lord your God, and so shall ye be established. Believe his prophets, and so shall ye prosper. Now this is a reference to the word that had come through Jehaziel, a prophet of God. He said, believe what the prophet has spoken, and you'll prosper. Believe in the Lord, and you'll be established. This enemy will not be able to overwhelm you. And verse 21, and when he had consulted with the people, he appointed singers unto the Lord, and that should praise the beauty of holiness as they went out before the army, and to say, praise the Lord, for his mercy endureth forever. Now, do you see who went first? The praisers went first. Now, you have the soldiers there. They were armed. They were ready for the fight. But in front of the soldiers and in front of the armed men, he put these praisers, all of those who were singers, those that should rejoice in the beauty of the holiness of God, those that would continually say, praise the Lord, for his mercy endureth forever. Now, the view I get is sort of like this, that you see how they would wage war in those days with great ranks of soldiers, and they were all foot soldiers, and they warred on large open plains. And I see Jehoshaphat's army all arrayed with their swords and their shields and ready to go into battle. But out in front of them, I see a rank of singers and praisers. And I see them marching along, praise the Lord for his mercy endureth forever. Praise the Lord for his mercy endureth forever. In step, the army behind them, the praisers in front, praise the Lord for his mercy endureth forever. Can you imagine something like that? I mean, anybody there in their right mind, so to speak, would think they were nuts. Well, these people weren't in their right mind. They were in their right spirit, you see. And praise is not something that comes out of the mind. Praise is something that comes out of their spirit. They had the revelation on this. The revelation was God said we had the victory. God said these three nations were going down in front of us. God said that when we finally engage them, we're just going to stand still and watch the salvation of God. He's going to take care of this for us. And their hearts just overflowed in praise. And can you imagine this army marching into battle? Praise the Lord, for his mercy endureth forever. Praise the Lord, for his mercy endureth forever. No doubt they had some musical instruments and had a band playing and the whole thing. Well, if you were the Moabites and the Ammonites and the Edomites, you would think you're going to have Judites for lunch, don't you? Huh? You see a bunch of crazies coming at you like that and singing and rejoicing and worshiping God. When you've got them outnumbered, we don't know how many, but the Bible says it was a great multitude that was arrayed against them. And the outcome of the battle for everybody but Jehoshaphat and his people was never in doubt. They thought that without a question, without a doubt, that they would have the victory. Now, verse 22, if you can see this now, see this rank of praisers preceding the army into the battle. Verse 22 is one of the most powerful verses in all of Scripture, particularly on this subject. And when they began to sing and to praise, the Lord set ambushments against the children of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, which were come against Judah, and they were smitten. When did God enter the battle? When they began to praise. For their faith, you see, moved the hand of God. And how did God know that they were really believing His promise? Because they were marching headlong into that enemy, and they were singing for all they were worth, "Praise the Lord, for His mercy endureth forever." Now, only a crazy man or a faith-filled man would do that. See, these people were filled with faith, and their faith was expressed in "Praise the Lord, for His mercy endures forever. Praise the Lord. I'm not afraid of this enemy. Praise the Lord." And that praise, you see, according to 8:2, Psalm 8:2, God had appointed that means as strength for them to silence their enemy. As they began to praise, the Lord supernaturally moved against their enemy, and the multitude of their enemy, their enemies were smitten. And the 23rd verse tells us how they were smitten. For the children of Ammon and Moab stood up against the inhabitants of Mount Seir, utterly to slay and destroy them. And when they had made an end of the inhabitants of Seir, everyone helped to destroy another. Now, what God did was He stirred among the enemies, and this is exactly what He does in among our spiritual enemies. He turns them against themselves. And so the Moabites and the Ammonites said, "We got to get these Edomites." And so they destroyed the Edomites, and after they had the Edomites destroyed, then they turned on each other and began to destroy each other. And the net effect was that the children of Israel never raised a sword. Nothing. All they did was praise the Lord. Wouldn't that make a marvelous movie? Can you see that? Of course, no. You know, hardly anybody, the only people would go to it would be Christians, because they would have to label it a fairy tale. That's the way the world would look at that. Something like that could never possibly happen. But I know, and you know, that how many of you know that this really happened? That this is not a figment of somebody's imagination. This really happened, just like this. Just like this. And when Judah, verse 24, and when Judah came toward the watchtower in the wilderness, they looked unto the multitude, and behold, they were dead bodies fallen to the earth, and none escaped. Isn't that, now, you know, it's not good that anybody should die, except the devil, of course. I mean, it's all right for him to die. But yet, the principle you can see here, that God had already been there and had already destroyed their enemies for them. And they didn't have to do it. All they had to do was what? Believe what God said was true and praise Him for it. You see, all they had to do was believe that what God said He would do, He would do. And then thank Him for it, and praise Him for it, and bless Him for it. And in fact, are you picking up on this now? You beginning to make an application in your own personal life? If God said, every man that believes on Jesus and calls on His name will be saved, guess what? If you believe on Jesus and call on His name, you'll be saved. If the Lord said, every man who will ask Me for the Holy Spirit, I'll give the Holy Spirit to him, guess what? If you ask Him for the Holy Spirit, then He'll give you the Holy Spirit. So what should you be doing if you're seeking the Holy Spirit? Oh, praise the Lord for His mercy endureth. Thank You, Lord, for giving me the Holy Spirit. Oh, Father, I thank You for the wonderful gift, which you do not have as yet. You're perhaps not walking in that yet. Praise the Lord for His mercy endures forever. Rather than, oh, God, oh, please pour out Your Spirit on this poor, unworthy sinner, Father. There's no faith operating there. You're not going to receive anything from God that way. It just won't come. But praising Him for what you don't yet have will cause the result to come. Thank you, Lord, for healing my body. Lord, I praise you for your healing. I thank you, Lord, for standing with me in this battle and for causing my enemy to destroy himself. I thank you, Father, for your promise that by His stripes I am healed. Praise you, Lord. Have you ever had to praise the Lord when your body was just racked with pain? That's the last thing you want to do is praise the Lord. Why would you praise the Lord in the midst of that kind of situation? Because you believe He's faithful to His Word. You believe His Word is true. And you believe He'll produce on His promises. And that's all that was happening here. Same principle. This applies to an individual as well as to a nation. And so in the 25th verse, watch how complete this victory is. This is really beautiful. And when Jehoshaphat and his people came to take away the spoil of them, they found among them in abundance both riches with the dead bodies and precious jewels, which they stripped off for themselves more than they could carry away. And they were 3 days in gathering of the spoil. It was so much. Talk about a battle. They never lifted their hands to do anything except praise the Lord, and they walked off with 3 days worth of spoil. Now, I think that's a pretty good deal. And I don't mind your knowing that I think it's funny. It's funny to see the devil and his crowd and his plan and so on to be so without strength and so without life, and God's people just picking up the spoil. See, what did he come to do? He came to steal and kill and destroy. But see, someone stronger than him has been along before us. And on the fourth day, they assembled themselves in the valley of Baraka. For they blessed the Lord. Therefore, the name of that same place was called the Valley of Baraka unto this day. Then they returned, every man of Judah and Jerusalem and Jehoshaphat in the forefront of them, to go again to Jerusalem with joy. For the Lord had made them to rejoice over their enemies. And they came to Jerusalem with psalteries and harps and trumpets into the house of the Lord. And the fear of God was on all the kingdoms of those countries, when they had heard that the Lord fought against the enemies of Israel. And so the realm of Jehoshaphat was quiet, for his God gave him rest round about. Good, isn't it, huh? Isn't that good? God gave him rest. His realm was quiet. Praise the Lord. Father, help us to appropriate this truth in a personal way. Help us to take this to ourselves personally and individually. Help us to see who our enemy is, and help us to see how faith manifested in praise will cause our enemy to go down to defeat every time. Now, I want you to see one other thing here before we leave the story. I want you to see that before the battle was fought, I don't think this is coincidence. At least it strikes me as it's not coincidence. There's insight here, I believe. Before the battle was joined, there's nothing there about the people having great joy. We're told that their mouth was filled with praise. Are you listening to me? After the victory was won, we're told about them that they rejoiced and that they went to Jerusalem with joy. Now, this is the point I want to make from that. Don't believe I'm taking this out of context. Praise does not necessarily arise from joy. Now, it will. If you feel joy in your heart and you're rejoicing in your heart, the natural expression of that will be praise to God. But you don't necessarily have to be joyful in order to praise the Lord. All you have to be is believing. Now, let that sink in. Faith will produce praise. Simple faith. Like this. Father, all of the circumstances that I am looking at look negative. It looks absolutely impossible for these circumstances to change. I don't have the strength or the power within me to make a difference in them. Frankly, as I look at the circumstances around about me, I have very little joy when I consider them. As a matter of fact, I'm just a little on the depressed side. You ever felt like that? But I read in your book a promise that covers my situation. Therefore, I decide to believe that what you said you'll do, you'll do. I've decided to believe that the one who promised is faithful and he'll perform it. I believe that you're able to, and I believe that you're ready to, and I believe you're willing to, and I believe you will. Therefore, I'm going to praise you. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. God, thank you for your word. Lord, I believe what you said is true. You begin praising him like that. Have you ever praised the Lord just like that? You don't really feel like praising him, but you believe what he said. And so you start and you say, hallelujah. 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 You try to work something up, see? We all do. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Lord, I believe you're going to take care of this for me. I don't care what these circumstances look like. It just doesn't make any difference. I know that Jehoshaphat faced something a whole lot tougher than what I'm looking at. And if you took care of that for him and you're no respecter of persons, I know you'll take care of this for me. Well, hallelujah. Praise God. You know, first thing you know, you're starting to believe that. And the more you believe it, the more you're praising. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Everything is going to hell in a handbasket, and you are praising the Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Oh, God, I put my confidence and my trust in you. I bless your name, Lord. I bless you. And you're doing that as an act of your will. You decide, because you believe what God said, you're going to praise him. When the battle's joined, who wins the victory? Who wins the victory? When you send Judah first, the battle is won, isn't it? When you send Judah first, the victory is, enemy is overcome. Isn't that what we sang? And so we give glory to the praise to the Father and glory to the Son or something like that, James. Eh? We send Judah first, we always get the victory. And when we get the victory, then you get a spontaneous explosion of joy on the inside of you. How many of you know what I'm talking about, have experienced that? See? And then the worship and the praise is spontaneous, and you're praising God for what he has done. That's a much easier kind of praising to do. Unfortunately, a great many Christians never have many opportunities to praise the Lord that way because they never praise him the first way first. You follow me? You see, their faith is not working in the Word of God. They are not praising the Lord in advance for his promises. Consequently, they see very few of his promises come to pass, and there's very little spontaneous joy. This is precisely why you can go into most churches and go out and never experience any praise. You can be there for an hour or however long the service is and never be in the presence of praise. Just never experience it all. The Lord always honors faith, and he honors praise. Remember Psalm 8:2, Matthew 21:16, God has ordained praise as a strength for us, that we may be assured of the victory over our enemies. Now, I want you to bow your heads just a moment, please. Here tonight are some ones who are right now tonight in a situation like Jehoshaphat and the children of Israel were, where the enemy is arrayed against them in a specific area of their life. And they have a specific battle. Perhaps there's someone here tonight who's facing very severe temptation. And the devil is pressing you with this temptation. You know that it's something you ought not to do and it's something you ought not to yield to, but the pressure is so strong that you think you can't help yourself and you can't hold yourself back. There's no way that you can stand against this temptation. It's just too strong for you. That's the devil's lie. That's the devil's lie. I say again, that is the devil's lie. You can stand against that temptation. The Bible says, now the devil won't tell you this, but I'll tell you this. The Bible says, I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me. The Bible says that you can stand against this temptation. The Bible says you don't have to cave in. You don't have to do what this other person or other people think you ought to be doing. You don't have to give in to that pressure. Begin to thank the Lord for the strength. Begin to say, thank you, Lord, for the strength to stand for Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for the power to resist this temptation. Thank you, Lord, that I don't have to cave into this. Thank you, Lord, I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me. And what will happen is those ones that are the instruments that the temptation is coming through begin to turn upon themselves, and you'll see confusion begin to come into that situation, and the temptation will alleviate itself, and you'll be delivered from it. Now listen carefully now to what the Lord's telling you. There's someone here tonight that's having a major problem. I see that. Oh, yes. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Brother Don Brown, this is for you. And the Lord gave me this word, and as it was coming, then I got your name, and you told me about this yesterday. But before your name came, this situation came. I want you to know that this is the word from the Lord. And what he was showing me is that someone, before I knew it was you, that someone is having a major problem at his work and has got it's a situation you and I were talking about just yesterday. And the Lord says, if you'll just begin to praise him, if you just begin to thank him, if you just begin to bless him, if you'll begin to just rejoice and worship him, because of his promise, not because of what you can see, that the Lord will deliver you from that situation and that you'll have victory there and that your enemy will not triumph over you. You just praise him in faith for that. Thank you, Father. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. 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 This is the word of knowledge that's in operation here now. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Lord, we bless you. We thank you for all of your promises. And Father, forgive us for not knowing your promises as well as we should, for not digging into your word daily for ourselves and obtaining your promises and allowing them to be applicable to our situation. Forgive us for not doing as Joshua did and turning directly to you and saying, Lord, what do I do in this situation? What's your instruction for me? What's your word? What's your specific word for this situation? Lord, we bless you. Lord, we bless you. Lord, we bless you. Jesus, we thank you. Lord, we thank you. Lord, we bless your name. Lord, we bless your name. Lord, we thank you. Lord, we thank you. Anything else specific, Father, you want to deal with tonight? Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Father. 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 Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. 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 I'm going to ask you if you'll pray with me in the Spirit for just a moment. Just be open to the Lord now. In doi shum vando borianco yendo vura kare momba yete. You're so good to us, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, dear Father. Thank you, Father. Just have your own way, Lord. Have your sweet way.
what am I doing? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Father. If you're here tonight and you have a particular situation, if this story reminds you of something in your life, where the enemy has arrayed himself against you and you know that you're either engaged in battle or about to be engaged in battle, but tonight you want to put this principle into practice, I'm going to give you an invitation to do something that some folks would call silly, but God uses the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And the things which the Lord does and ask us to do are the very things that have the power in them. It would have been very easy for Jehoshaphat to have said, "This is really dumb. We need to get ourselves some Egyptians up here, or some we need some help. You know, we need some people with swords. We don't need singers. We need chariots, not sopranos." But Jehoshaphat just believed in God. And I believe there's some of you here tonight like Jehoshaphat. I believe some folks here tonight have that same spirit. And if you're one of those, I want you just to stand to your feet and lift your hands towards heaven. And I want you to begin to say, "Praise the Lord, for his mercy endures forever." Just rise and just say, "Praise the Lord, for his mercy endures forever. Praise the Lord, for his mercy endures forever. Praise the Lord, for his mercy endures forever. Praise the Lord, for his mercy endures forever." Praise the Lord, for his mercy endures forever. The Lord is sharing with me while we are praising here that some of you are going to praise the Lord here in the house of God, and on the way home, then you're going to say, "Well, I hope that God's going to be with me in this situation. Well, I just hope, honey, that this everything's going to work out all right. Oh, brother, just agree with me that God will move with for me in this situation." And you're going to lose the whole thing. Do you remember when they stopped praising in this story? They stopped praising when they saw the dead bodies of their enemies. You don't stop either until you see your enemy drawn and quartered. And then you won't stop praising, then you'll really start praising, you see. Your praise will turn to a spontaneous joy. And what the Christian life is supposed to be. It's supposed to be from one glory to the next, and from one level of praise to the next. Sally, I want you to go to the piano and give us a few chords that we can sing. "I've got the victory, you've got the victory, we've all got the victory now. His word cannot fall or fail. If he says you've got it, you've got it. If he says I've got it, I've got it. Hallelujah. I've got the victory. You've got the victory. We've all got the victory because he spoke it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And now, let's, as we prepare to depart tonight, I want us to just close our service with a very familiar, "He is Lord." We want to remember the Lordship of Jesus Christ. The reason that we have this victory is because he ultimately purchased it for us. We have the assurance of victory because Jesus gave his life, because he went into the grave, he went right into hell. He went to the place where the strong man had his palace safe and his goods secure. But when one stronger than he came on the scene, he spoiled the devil. Hallelujah. The Bible says that the Son of God was manifested to destroy the works of the devil, and destroy them he did. Hallelujah. 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 Jesus Christ is Lord. Acknowledge, Lord Jesus, that it's because of what you did that we have the assurance of the victory. We thank you for the mighty weapons that you have provided for us, specifically the weapons of faith and of praise that we've learned about tonight. Lord, quicken this instruction to our hearts by your Spirit. Let us never forget how important it is to maintain a mouth filled with praise and how our speech reveals what's really in our heart. When we're willing to praise you, no matter the circumstances, it proves to you and to the devil and to anyone else who hears us that what's in our heart is faith. That's where the victory is. Faith is the victory that causes us to overcome the world and its enemies. Thank you, Lord, for the promise of a victorious life. No matter what the trouble, no matter what the distress, no matter what the difficulty, no matter what the temptation, we can have victory through it. Hallelujah. We praise you, Lord, for your mercy endures forever. Send us forth from this place tonight, a changed people, different. A heart filled with faith, a mouth filled with praise, because of the faithful promises of a faithful God. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen.